hello there, neighbors, and welcome to the Von Handyman Show, number 164, this June 27, 2006. We're recording at the Little Ranch House Studio, right here on Southwood Drive in Lufkin, Texas. For the next hour, we're going to talk about building, repairing, and maintaining, all, of course, designed with the blind in mind. A host for the show, ladies and gentlemen, here he is, Don Shaw.
What's going on in Burke, Texas today, Tom?
Oh, man, it's nice and sunny out here. Nice, pleasant day. Humidity down feels
it
good.
It sure does.
Don Patterson, how about Hudson?
I think this is the third show 164 we've done. But anyway, we're going to do it anyway. It's good to hear you, Thomas.
Oh, good to be here. My name's Tom Houston. But here he is, folks. Here's who it's all about. The creator and producer of the Blind Handyman Show, ladies and gentlemen, Phil Parr.
Wonderful. It is hot. That's 92. About 92 degrees, according to my little thermometer. Air conditioner's rolling.
No breeze.
Humidity down, though.
Yeah, that's the good thing.
Electric bill, electric boxes going around like a slot machine.
Mine's making all kinds of noise, too.
Oh, man. Yeah. I tell you, it's going to be the discouraging thing about summer is it's going to be this way till October.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, it's just nothing, you know, that can be done about it.
Yeah.
We're
lucky to get a cool morning like this morning.
Actually, I have a little email here I want to read. Dear Phil, your friend Tom Houston has been absent now for 4 weeks. Is there any chance he'll ever come back and actually be at the studio instead of on the phone? We're tired of hearing him from his house. They didn't sign their name.
We could take a crack at that. It's 50-50 here.
They didn't sign their name.
Those are the odds, huh? 50-50.
Will or he won't.
I say it's 100% I will.
I told him you were coming back on the 25th.
I am.
Come hell or high water. Clean his birthday or whatever.
Man, and today I bought smoked salmon, pepperoni, little sausage.
He did. He
several kinds of cheese.
He bought a whole thing of groceries today.
Yeah.
And there's banana pudding, and there's no Tom Houston.
Oh, boy.
Well, I didn't really bring the banana pudding.
He's lying about the banana pudding. Everything else he brought, though.
Well, you know, his wife makes a fine banana pudding.
Yeah, she does. No question about that.
Yep.
I want to turn this down a little bit, see if you can still hear. Okay, 1, 2, 3. How's it? Can you still hear us?
Oh, you sound wonderful. Is just that clear as a bell.
That's good. I turn it down just a hair. We're having some little technical difficulties
here.
Patterson says they never happen when you're here.
Never had this problem.
Oh, no, never.
So we never had these problems.
I mean, now I think we're off the air completely.
This is the last just plain old recorded broadcast, isn't it?
This is it till vacation time.
The last of the season.
This is our season finale. I don't think we won anything, but this is it. We're off until we'll do the next one on the 25th. Is that right?
25th of July.
And then 25th. We'll be for the first time live on FTP Radio. For the first time, on the 25th of July. Live, we'll have at 1 o'clock, at noon, it'd be 2 o'clock Eastern, wouldn't it?
2 o'clock
Eastern, we'll have the Blind Handyman. At 3 o'clock, we'll have an hour of American Classic Country. And at 4 o'clock Eastern, we'll have the live version of the Blind Handyman.
Yeah.
Taking phone calls and, you know, just...
The live version. Wait a minute now.
Yeah.
At 3 o'clock, you're going to have the Blind Handyman, right?
Yeah.
Live.
Eastern. I said 4 o'clock Eastern time.
Okay, at 3 o'clock our time.
Yeah.
Okay, then you're going to do American Classic Country for an hour.
Before the Blind Handyman.
Oh, before the Blind Handyman.
We'll start at 1 o'clock our time.
Oh, okay.
Start at 1 o'clock our time with Blind Like Me. And then from 2 to 3, we'll do American Classic Country, recorded, pre-recorded.
Okay.
All you'll have to do is fade it down and start the theme.
Okay.
And then at 3 o'clock, we'll do Blind Handyman, live and in person.
Oh, boy.
That'll be neat. That'll be great.
I think it'll be good to see if we get calls to see how many people listen. I've seen, they had 50-something people in one room the other night doing... I can't remember what it was, trivia or something.
Whoa, what a turnout.
50-something people. I'd like to beat that the first day.
Wouldn't that be neat?
Oh, it'd be great, you know. Well, show you people.
Well, just remember, listeners, you may call in twice. You may call in more than once.
Vote twice. Three times,
yeah,
even.
We'll
what the hell?
Have to limit your calls to one. You know, we had, remember all those rules? Rules we used to have.
I remember that, man.
Tradio rules we used to have, and all kinds of rules. Anyway, I guess we could read a little email here and kind of see what's happening.
Okay, here's one that says, howdy, y'all. We have two indoor pets who are not housebroken. And we have hardwood floors throughout our house. What can we use to clean and disinfect the floors without stripping the finish? Thanks, Steve and Shannon.
Steve, you're in trouble.
I don't know.
So the dogs or whatever he's got have pooed on the floor, peed on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to strip the floor. I mean, just, there's no way.
It's the pee more than the poo.
Yeah.
And he says, what can he do? Something to preserve the finish or something? I would imagine the finish is pretty well.
Yeah, I think you're pretty well over with the finish there.
I would train some animals.
House training time.
You mean there's not anything that you could do?
Lysol? I mean, what, to disinfect?
I mean, if you did it as you went, I'm not talking about after it built up over a long period of time. Is there anything, I wonder, that would clean that mess up?
No, it would get into, if it's, you say hardwood floors?
Yes.
Yeah.
It'd be in the floor, it'd be in that wood, it'd soak in that wood, there's just nothing.
There's so much acid in something like that.
In the urine, yes,
it kills the grass, I can tell you that, if they go in a certain place. There is some pet stuff that you can buy for carpets.
I've seen that.
It is specific for pet stains, little accidents that they may have. So there may be a comparable product.
For wood.
I would... I'm trying to think where Emily gets it, and I'm not certain that it's not at the dollar store or Walmart's, but it's an item specific to...
Well, the carpet stuff kind of works, but it doesn't really work. I mean, if you get the dog pee stain in your carpet, folks, you might as well replace the carpet, and it'd be just as bad. But I mean, wood would be just as bad.
We went to a lot of tile floors for that. Yeah. We knew we were going to have pets.
Yeah.
And then our throw rugs, we steam clean them periodically.
Yeah.
The floors, if it's new hardwood floors or whatever, and you want to, you might find some kind of silicone spray, you know, to put a finish kind of or a real good wax. You know, get somebody to come in maybe and buff and wax the floors, and that will kind of repel them. But I'm telling you, the acid is going to get you.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's really funny. We got Sarah last August. You remember last summer, buddy, when we came back from Padre Island, Charlie was gone. Little dog Charlie was gone.
Yep.
We got Sarah in August, and Sarah did fine up until recently. Sarah has started peeing in the house.
That does not make any sense.
That didn't make any sense to
me.
She's done fine now for 9 months, and all of a sudden, she started peeing in the house. I don't know. Somebody explain that to me.
Well, we have the border collie, and unless we crate him at night, for some reason, he will not go in the house in the daytime.
Yeah.
But if you let him stay out past his crate time, it's Katie bar the door, and he's 2 years old. So.
Man, that is strange.
That is. That just doesn't. I don't know.
That doesn't make any sense. But Sarah, I don't know what to do about her. She's last three or four nights she hadn't done it. So
I would get a crate. I would make her go out at a certain time and then put her in a crate.
I don't want her in a crate. Well, I like her. I like for her to come and, you know what she does? She's got a real strange habit. Because I go to sleep before everybody does, and the dogs and Duane stay up. I think to get away from me, I'm sure, as much as anything else. Anyway, I may go to bed at 10 o'clock, and Duane will stay up till midnight, and the dogs will. Sarah comes in and sticks her nose in my eye socket.
Oh, God.
Now, why? I have no idea. You know.
I don't know.
She, of course, there's all these possibilities. She's nuts. But anyway, that's our little Sarah. Go ahead, Tommy.
Maybe that's why she's urinating in a floor now, because she's sticking her nose in your eye. No,
you don't think the two aren't correlated?
No connection there, I don't get.
You don't think so, huh?
No, sir. In my backyard, I have a set of concrete stairs leading down to my basement. At the landing, there's a drain pipe that goes down a foot or so and then goes under my basement floor. Now, this spring, the water went down the drain very slowly, so I tried to clean out the pipe a bit. I was able to get a snake to go into the drain about 7 or 8 feet, but that was about it. Didn't do anything. I then used my chomp vac to see if I could clean out the pipe. Uh-huh. Did a pretty good job. It cleaned out a lot of water and quite a few stones of various sizes.
Mm.
The water drained much better, but not as much as I would like. My guess is that there is other stuff down there that the vac wouldn't reach. Anyone got any ideas for cleaning out the drain any better?
You know, the shop vac will reverse. I mean, you can make the shop vac either take in air or blow out air.
Mm-hmm.
Also, well, you know, and we've talked about this thing before, and I've had pretty good success with them. They make a deal that you put on the end of a water hose that swells up when you put it in the pipe. They make three different sizes.
Yep.
And I've got one of all three sizes, I think. And you put that sucker in the water pipe, and it takes that water pressure and blows up the size of a balloon, and it blows up so that water can't come back on you. And I bet that'd blow it out.
It'd be the thing to have, it seems like, to get enough force to.
I mean, you blew out that drain on Allendale one time with it, Chip Patterson, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
So you might go the hard. And they're cheap. You know, they'd be $3.
Yeah, I don't know how big a drain, if it's a 3-inch drain, if it's in the floor, a landing like that. Also, though, taking the email as I read it, he did the snake and then did the shop vac.
Mm-hmm.
It did not say whether he then retried the snake. If, you know, depending on the age of the structure and all that, you know, it's a possibility. And I don't know if it's cast iron.
That a root grew in there or something?
Or that something has collapsed. You know, that's actually what happened to the line on Allendale. After I got it cleared a little bit, actually that was kind of a lost hope, and I had to run a new line because that line had the
did
slab.
Did he say if this was PVC or what?
It didn't say.
But I wonder if with the connections that y'all have that blow out the drain, do they make one for a 3-inch pipe?
Yeah.
Okay. See that I would try.
Yeah.
That would be your best bet.
I'll show it to you. I got one that's about 2 inches to begin with, and it will sun. It gets big.
You put it on the end of a water hose.
Yeah. And it blows itself.
Is it like a balloon?
It blows itself up like a balloon.
Like that.
You just hold it right at the entrance of the pipe. Turn on the water.
Actually, you stick it down in the pipe.
Yeah, and
turn on the water, and it blows up the size of the pipe. The pipe won't let it expand anymore, and so it keeps the water from coming back on you, and that you use the city water pressure to clean your drain.
And it blows it the other way.
Yeah,
okay.
Oh man, it's quite a thing. Now, you know, there are drains that won't. I've got a what do they call those in the ground? French drain. That of course it won't blow out because the French drain has holes all down it.
Yeah.
But man, it's this thing gets huge. Anyway, go ahead, Tommy.
Okay, guys.
Okay.
Here's an easy one.
All right.
What's the best way to treat a squeaky door? My bedroom door makes this hideous noise.
Yeah.
I hadn't realized how bad it was until we put the new baby in there. Now the door is squeaking at all hours and driving me crazy.
Yeah?
Y'all need to help Jennifer out here.
Jennifer?
Wonder what
Jennifer this is.
I don't know.
She's on the handyman list. Silicone spray.
Man, a WD-40 is good for those things.
Yeah.
But you might, depending on what kind of hinge it is, I'd probably, I didn't realize how bad the screen door squeaked coming in the house till I put my hearing aids in. Man. How do you people live with that all these years?
If you don't want an oil-based thing, isn't there like graphite?
You can use graphite powder.
That you clean a lot. Because I'm thinking, and I don't know that I've ever used graphite, but I'm thinking like WD-40 will kind of tarnish your paint. I would use that very sparingly, but I would...
Yeah. And it attracts dirt, too.
Yeah, I would ask... That's a good hardware store question, actually. What do they recommend? But I would think something a dry... treatment of
some dry lubricant. The problem with that dry lubricant is I've never found it in a large enough quantity to do. You know, it comes in a little bitty old tube, and it's real fine, and it's real hard for a blind person to use because it's so, it's just so fine and so small. But they make all kinds of cleaner. I have some stuff that's not WD-40 that's called LPS. cleaner that I like a lot better than WD-40. It doesn't have that odor that WD-40 has, and it just seems to it's just a better lubricant. It's a little more expensive, but it's I don't know what LPS stands for. I'm sure someone...
Well, does it dry without a residual?
Yeah,
or
it dries much better than WD-40. Yeah. Kind of leaves an oil.
Oh, it does. Yeah. It sure does.
It's a solvent. I mean, it's a cleaner.
Is what it really is.
But, yeah.
I think the LPS may...
LPS would probably be better. So go to the hardware store, get a can of LPS, and spray the hinges, and that ought to stop that. If it doesn't, take the pins out of the hinges. We assume they're just regular door hinges.
Yeah,
just take
oil
the pins and put them back in. They'll just slip right out the top.
Yeah.
And the center pin for the hinge.
Okay.
That was an easy one. Thank you, Tom. We needed that.
All right. This is not a question, but it's a guy that calls it a stupid blind handyman blunder.
Okay.
He has a large wooden step that goes into his house from his garage that's open on the bottom.
Yeah, I remember
this. It needed to be cleaned out. It's attached to the house, so he was lifting the front part of the steps up for his, up for my wife to get the broom underneath. Well, the thing slipped out of my hands and landed on my right big toe. I now have no toenail, and I have 3 stitches where the nail used to be. This really sucks. Well, this is a prime example not to wear flip-flops when doing such heavy work.
That's probably a good idea.
I'm going to buy a pair of steel-toed boots. Don't make my same mistakes. I have to say Vicodin isn't too bad. Take care, Jeff.
So he dropped the step on his toe.
Undoubtedly,
yeah. Man, it hurts. That just
hurts
that
thinking hurts about thinking it, doesn't it?
Well, you know, two things. That toenail's never going to grow back the same.
Yeah.
It will. I've got one from a childhood accident. Same, I dropped a big piece of wood on mine. But remember about 3 weeks ago or so, we talked about, you know, climbing ladders and safety clothes, and we covered that. And, of course, hindsight and all of that. But, flip-flops are good for the beach.
Man, that would hurt. That would
obviously he didn't go to do it, as they say in East Texas.
That would never happen to John Conway, I guarantee you.
Why is that?
He's got these steel-toed boots that he wears all the time.
Oh,
does he?
Yeah.
Yes, he does. Nice boots.
Why would he need steel-toed boots unless Pam, I guess not?
I don't know.
But, you know, I can't wait till you get up on the ladder with that framing gun, Patterson.
Well,
it's going to be lots of fun.
I'm going to get up there.
All right, Donald, I guess we ought to take a short
about
break.
Break time.
Well, Houston,
our guest.
I bet on you. I bet that you would be back.
I will be back on the 25th.
I'm not putting any money on that one.
On the 25th. After vacation, you'll be back, huh?
I'll be back.
I appreciate that. Tell them all hello, and I'll talk to you. What are you doing?
It's squashing Thomas's beer can.
Yeah.
See you guys.
We'll take a break. I'll see you in a minute, all right? What happened to the satellite? There it is.
There it is.
They're playing the same song they've been playing all afternoon.
That's it.
Best about the Blind Handyman List. Great place to exchange information and gather ideas on anything to do with being a handyman around the house.
I found out how to fix my garbage disposal on the Handyman List. And it works.
If you'd like to join the Blind Handyman List, send a blank email to blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
The thing I like about the Blind Handyman List, I'm the moderator, and I can delete you if I want to. So don't get out of line. Stay on topic.
That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. A trip to Walmart.
I wonder where the pharmacy is. It's somewhere over here. Oh, God, I've got my cane caught in something.
Pardon me, sir. I don't know how to how to tell you this, but the end of your cane is stuck in my...
Why bother shopping the big discount stores when you can shop from the comfort of your own home at BlindMySmart.com?
Hi, this is Dale Campbell, president of Blind My Smart. If you can't find what you're looking for today, check back tomorrow. We're adding new products every day.
Blind My Smart, with thousands of products at a completely accessible website. Our address is BlindMySmart.com. Again, that's www.BlindMySmart.com.
One of the things that I guarantee will happen during this vacation, Don Shaw,
yeah,
you'll never hear those commercials again. They will never be played again on the Blind Handy Man.
History. They're after history. This week, are they?
I'm sick of them. After today, they're this week. Well, we don't exactly have a big staff to cut new ones, but we're going to get our guy to cut some new ones over the holidays. It's guest time on the Handy Man Show. Randy, your last name is what, sir?
Barnett.
We couldn't decide if it was Burnett or Barnett.
That's Barnett.
Randy Barnett, good to have you. Glad to meet you. Where are you?
I'm in Eureka, California.
Eureka, California.
Eureka.
You have to excuse me. I had a little bit of a cold.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, as long as we don't catch it, we don't care. we're not going to worry about it. As long as you don't give it to us, we don't.
I'm thinking it's an electronic one.
All right. No electronic code. As long as you don't do that. What do you do out there in California? Do you work for a living or not?
No. I went to school as a sighted person. I grew up as a sighted person.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I didn't lose my sight until I stopped driving when I was 19.
Ah, 19.
I started riding the bicycle, and I had to quit riding the bike about 25.
Mm-hmm.
I almost hit some poor lady on the sidewalk, so I
figured it was time to put up the bike.
I got to give up the bike now, too.
Probably time to quit riding the bike, was it?
So
you grew up as a sighted child, never thinking anything about being blind or any of that.
I didn't really think, but I was diagnosed as 8 with bilateral cone dystrophy, which is it was explained to me is rather rare.
Bilateral cone dystrophy. That's a new one on me.
I will try to remember that, Randy. My wife is a VI teacher, and as part of their curriculum, they have to study or know a little bit about eye disease. I'm not familiar with that either.
And how much of your sight has it taken now?
Almost all my useful vision.
Almost all your useful vision.
Well, I see a little.
So how old are you now?
I just turned 38.
Well, you've come to grips with it. It's not a pleasant thing, but it can be done. You can live a good life as a blind person. We, all three of us have, and there are lots of others who do.
The transition was kind of trying to learn as a blind person.
Yeah.
Was totally different than trying to learn as a sighted person.
Certainly it would be.
Oh, sure.
There would be.
I'm a real visual learner, real hands-on kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
Hence my kind of projects I tend to gravitate towards. And, I just never did really do well in college as a blind person.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you get past that. You learn to conceptualize and think as a blind person. Of course, I've been blind all my life, and so I don't know what you went through. I've talked to people who've gone through the same thing, but... We talk endlessly about whether if you're going to be blind, you might as well start out that way. I don't know if that's true or not. I have absolutely no idea.
I'm kind of torn on that issue. I've talked to people about that, too.
Yeah.
In some ways, it'd be better. I got a friend. Well, you had him on the show, Doug Rose.
Yeah. Love him. Wonderful guy.
Yeah.
He's blind basically from birth. I guess they took his eyes at 2. He had eye cancer.
Yeah.
And he gets around pretty good. He amazes me. He gets on a bus in a whole other city. He comes here. He found my house for the first time. First time I met him, came to my house unassisted.
Yeah.
And for me, that would never happen.
Well, yes, it will. Yeah, it's going to happen.
It will.
It's going to happen.
Yeah, sometimes.
If you want it to, it's going to happen.
But, Randy, I want to ask you a question. I know what your topic kind of is, but I'm just in this one question. If you're going to put a nut on the end of a screw, how do you do it? Do you look or do you feel?
have to feel.
Exactly.
That's it.
Let me tell you, it's a learned experience. If you're sighted, you will use your sight. If you don't, you won't. And some of us, I'm a pretty good partial, but I've done some things as a blind man all my life, i.e. dialing the telephone and putting a nut on a screw without looking. And where I used to work at this company, the sighted maintenance men would come and get me to put a screw on because we were working in the dark like we were developing film. And they couldn't, and so they'd say, man, go get John. You know?
Right.
And so you, if I can do it, you can do it.
You can.
Oh, yeah. Well, I noticed even when I sighted, when you're working on a car half time, you can hardly see what you're doing.
You can't see, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. You become more used to it, and you may still resent it a little bit, but you'll get past all that little. And yeah, Doug Rose is a well adjusted blind person. He gets around well. He does. I've talked to him two or three times. He seems to be very well adjusted.
Refresh my memory with Doug. Well, we talked to him.
They're into the ponds.
He's the
guy
the pond builder.
Yeah, we've had him on two or three times.
Yes.
He and his wife build ponds and put pumps together for and fountains for people.
Yeah, I haven't talked to him for a long time. When I knew him, he was helping me. He was instructing people in Braille.
Uh-huh.
Right.
He's helping me learn Braille. Which I just didn't have the sensitivity to pick that up. The code is no problem. Memorizing the code.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but, you know.
I've talked to people who have the same deal. They just couldn't feel the dots just for one reason or the other.
They call it scrubbing, I guess.
Yeah.
I couldn't just feel them unless I sat there and kind of just wiggled my finger.
Yeah. You're not the only one.
I take it you're a ham radio operator.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's the call sign?
What's your call sign, Brandon?
Oh, I don't have I'm not a ham radio operator.
Oh, you're not?
I thought you said you learned the code.
I'm sorry.
You said the code.
The Braille code.
He thought you were talking about Morse code. I'm the same thing. I can't read Braille, and it's I'm stupid, but that's not the reason. I'm dumb as a post about some things, but that's not the reason. I can't read Braille because I can't read Braille. Excuse me, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. You know, I tried, and they said, it'll come to you.
Yeah.
You just got to read enough. You got to read more. Read some more.
Yeah. Yeah.
It never happened.
God bless talking books, you know.
Yep.
I don't know what I'd do without a talking book. I bitch about them all the time because they're not. I want them on CD. But, you know, I was dubbing this motivational course and got mad because I didn't have it on CD. Anyway, there's a lot of blind people that just can't read Braille, and you may be one of them, and that's okay. You know,
yeah. I figure it out the other way. You know,
you'll get
a computer.
You'll
I keep everything on a computer. I got a Parrot.
Oh, do you?
A little handheld.
Okay.
Yeah. Note taker.
Yeah. But you're a car guy.
Oh,
you like cars.
Always. Ever since I was little.
Yeah, ever since you were little.
I used to read Car and Driver, Popular Hot Rodding, you know.
Yeah.
Are you aware that some of those are available on tape, I think?
No, not.
Because when Phil said talking book, you didn't respond, and I was wondering, do you talking
Do you have a talking book machine?
No, I don't.
Oh, man. Mm. I believe, like Popular Mechanic.
Yeah,
and
some of those
fine magazines are available current on tape.
Yeah. I bet Car and Driver's available on.
Would not surprise me. We'll look into that for you.
Okay.
Yeah, you need a talking book machine. They'll send you one free of charge. The library will.
Yeah,
through Library of Congress.
If you just ask them,
library.
They'll give you the talking book machine, and they'll furnish you with books and magazines.
You have to have a special machine or just a four-track?
Now, sir, you've got to have a special machine that runs at a slow speed. It runs.
Yeah, I have one of those four-track tape decks that has the real slow speed.
Okay, well, you've got what you need then.
Yeah.
All you need to do is get on the list and start ordering books and
magazines. Bestseller books and tons of books and lots of magazines.
Great resource.
Talked to a guy the other day who had worked on cars as a sighted person, and when he lost his eyesight, he sold his tools. You didn't do that, did you?
No, I got more.
Our kind
of
guy.
That's what we like to hear. Projects to us are reasons to buy tools.
Yeah.
That's why we agree to do projects, so we can buy new tools.
That's it.
Oh, yeah.
So have you tried doing some things as a blind person working on cars? Or?
Well, I totally custom built my truck all by myself except for had a guy do the welding.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I haven't found a blind person that can weld yet. I don't think that's possible.
Yeah, we haven't either.
Well, now, wait a minute. Didn't we have a guy on that could weld?
I think we decided
That's kind of...
Maybe not.
Maybe not, huh?
Yeah.
Right, well, there's a sighted person. You got to... There's so much to the puddle.
Yeah.
Well, that's the molten puddle, there's so much that it tells you, you know, from...
Yeah.
It's all visual. It's a really visual thing, is whether or not you're getting a decent weld.
Yeah.
So I just don't think a blind person could do it.
I think, yeah, we did have a guy on who could sweat pipe.
Yeah. We did.
Well, yeah, you
do
could
that.
Do that. Braze.
We had Dale Levins. Canada. He could sweat pipe together, which I've never done. But he can do that, I think, pretty successfully. But welding, outright welding, would be a pretty tough thing.
Different.
Yeah, I don't think
so. So you said you built your truck all except for the welding. Like, tell us what you mean.
Well, I bought a 1976 Ford F-150.
All right.
Two-wheel drive.
Okay.
Drove it home. Well, I didn't drive it. My wife drove it.
Yeah, if you want to drive.
I still talk like a sighted person. I don't know if that's just me.
It's okay. That's the way we talk.
We say we watch TV.
Yeah, we don't. Yeah. Drove it home.
As you know, I'm not around many blind people.
Okay.
That's another downfall. You need to get acquainted with some blind people.
All right. Your wife drove it home.
Yeah, so I took it home.
Uh-huh.
I originally bought it for another project. I just wanted the rear axle out of it. It was a 9-inch Ford. My son liked the truck so much, we decided to fix it up. But the bed was rusted out, and the doors were rusted, so I threw them out and decided to chop the roof off and make it a topless, more like a roadster.
Uh-huh.
And built the engine up. It's a Ford 390.
Uh-huh.
And I got all the good aftermarket parts, forged pistons, all the Brock cylinder heads. Big cam. It makes about 420 horsepower.
Whoa. Really?
Yeah. I did everything except for the machine work. A local shop did all the machine work. I did all the assembly on that.
You did the assembly?
Yeah.
And yeah. Then, you know, I believe an engine like that. I've never done an engine. I've worked on cars some, but that to me would be one of the most blind friendly. You know, I mean, things go where they go,
and if
you knew where they went. And how they were attached, you don't need to see much.
Yeah, it helps if you're the person who took it apart in the first place.
Exactly.
That's true. Oh, yeah. You yeah, know. Definitely.
And I've done it before as a sighted person, so that helped too.
But you know good and well that anyone, there's a guy down the street from me that has a hot rod truck. Like, well, he's not a machinist. He would have somebody to mill the heads or all of that.
Sure.
So
yeah.
That's not a crime.
So anybody sighted or blind would have to do that. Unless
Most of the tools, too. They're so expensive.
Yeah, how old is your son?
My son, he's, at the time, he was 15.
So he's a grown-up boy now, isn't he?
Yeah, he's 18, yeah.
He's 18. So he's interested in car. Did he help you some?
He helped some, but then he got bored with it.
Well, he probably discovered girls.
Yeah, he turned out not to be a car guy. But by the time I got the engine built, the engine in the truck, and we were getting ready to do all the body work, the custom body work, he lost interest.
Yeah.
We inherited a four-wheel drive truck from my uncle who passed away a couple years ago. And we had a lot of fun in that as a family,
mm-hmm.
you know, but it was underpowered and tended to get stuck a lot. So I decided since I had this big motor it's already built and hadn't really got into the body of the truck that we just built a four-wheel drive.
Mm-hmm.
So I took the cab that we chopped to make it a roadster. We got rid of that altogether. So I was left with a two-wheel drive frame, a hot motor, transmission. So I went out and bought a Sterling full float rear end. It's a one-ton axle out of a one-ton truck.
Uh-huh.
And then I went and bought a Dana D60, which is another one-ton axle for the front. And I bought a divorce transfer case so I could still use my transmission. I built the cross members for the transfer case, hung it right behind the transmission. So I got the engine, transmission, and a short little intermediate drive shaft
and
transfer case.
Does that allow you two ranges?
Yeah, high and low range.
High and low, okay.
Yeah. And then I built a three-link front suspension, which is basically three arms that come from the transmission crossmember.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with that generally is under a car, about how far back it would be.
I know approximately, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, I took three control arms. They attach to half-inch thick plate, 5 inches wide, the width of the from frame rail to frame rail.
Mm-hmm.
There's three arms that go forward to the front axle. The two outside ones are on the top of the axle, and then the center one goes to the bottom of the axle. That keeps the axle from rotating.
Yeah.
Under torque. And I use coilovers. I don't know if you guys are familiar with
none. I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's a shock that basically has a coil spring on it.
Uh-huh.
It's a part of the shock. So all you have to do is mount the shock, and that takes care of your dampening and your spring. All
okay.
In the shock.
All right.
So you just have tabs on the axle and tabs on the frame. That suspends the front of the vehicle. So I did all that, and we decided we'd go with a newer body style. We didn't like that older body style. I couldn't
mm-hmm.
find any. We found a 1992 F-250 Super Cab, which has the back seat. It's not a four-door, but it's got enough room for six people.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So we had put that on that 76 frame. I had to take and move the front body mounts. Had to be moved back about 6 inches.
Had to be notched
the front frame because the core support's wider on
yeah.
the newer vehicles than the older ones. So the core support, that's the part of the front that holds the lights and the radiator and everything.
Yeah.
That part was wider than the old style. So it wouldn't sit down between the frame rails without actually notching each frame rail.
Uh-huh.
So I had to slide down in there.
So there was a lot of hole drilling and a lot of notching and gutting.
Oh yeah.
Boy, it sounds like it.
It does.
Man,
what a project.
I went out and bought a drill press after I burned up three drills.
Oh, you
handheld drills they're not good at.
You mean even the Makita wouldn't.
Oh no!
I love my Makita drill.
But you see, you got an excuse to buy two.
Yeah, buy a drill press. Everybody needs a drill press.
They put a Harbor Freight in just a few miles away, so I was happy about that.
Yeah.
And that's where I got my drill press. That comes in real handy.
Now, Harbor Freight is a big hardware store thing. I'm not familiar with them.
They sell all kinds of tools.
Yeah.
They're not known for the quality.
Yeah.
But a lot of, you can, if you treat it right, stuff will last. But it's cheap.
Yeah.
We like cheap.
We do
cheap.
I think I paid $99 for my drill press at one of the tool shows. And of course, I've never used it for anything real heavy, but it certainly does what I need to do.
Oh, yeah.
Figuring that, I paid a couple hundred for my Makita drill, so, what's the best deal?
Yeah.
So, anyway, you got a drill press, and how did you cut those notches in the frame with a...
I have a chop saw, and I have a skill saw with metal cutting blades.
Okay.
So you just, I burned my fingers a lot.
I imagine you did.
I just, because I figure out where my spot needs to be cut. I'll take a measurement. I'll extend my tape measure and lock it.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
And then I'll go to a spot where I need, and I just set it there. From my reference point to the cut point, I just keep the tape there, and then I use my finger to mark my spot with my finger. I get my saw in position, move my finger, and cut.
Yep, I know.
On a frame, on an automobile frame, are we talking about hollow tubing?
It's C-channel.
So which would, is it like...
Like the bottom is hollow, is three-sided?
Well, it's got three sides.
Yeah.
Three sides.
Okay, three-sided.
Have you ever considered a reciprocating saw with a metal cutting blade? Because it...
I have a sawzall, too.
Yeah, saw, the same thing. And when you put it up against its front guide, it's pretty easy to hold in position. So, yeah.
Yeah, I got one of those a little later, and I like it a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But, I still like my skill saw with the cutting blade for some things.
I don't remember what I was doing, but I put a metal cutting blade in my table saw one time. I don't know what I was trying to do or what I thought I wanted to do. But I put them in. It took a long time and made a lot of noise, but it cut whatever I said. But cutting with a skill saw is a kind of a dicey thing anyway. They make, we've found several guides for skill saws that you fasten right to the skill saw.
Yeah.
That
I have a table saw, too, for, you know, if I need a guide to cut something straight that's portable.
Yeah.
So, okay, so you got this different body on this chassis, and you have four-wheel drive, and the transfer case allows you to have the four-wheel drive, to either go from four-wheel to two-wheel?
Yeah, that gives you the four-wheel drive capability, because it has an output on the front to drive the front axle.
Yeah.
As well as your high and low range.
But do you, on yours, do you have to get out and manually change to four-wheel drive, or you have a lever inside? You know,
I have locking hubs, but I still have, I have high and low range, too low, too high.
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
I had to put in a shifter for it. I had to adapt the shifter for the C6 transmission.
Right.
Because it used an old, just a rod off the steering column.
Yeah.
And all the new trucks use a cable, which actually the cable mounts to the transmission, and then it hooks to the shift arm.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to fabricate a mount for that, which is essentially an L bracket.
And so you had to go buy a piece of metal and bend it like you wanted.
I've had to buy lots of metal for this truck.
Lots. Now, when you were doing all this, how much sight? You said you're gradually losing your sight. How much sight did you have when you did this transfer, built this truck?
My sight's been stable for the last 4 years, probably.
So,
it's very little useful sight, especially when it's bright.
Yeah.
Cone dystrophy. The rods and cones in your eyes, the only thing affected are my cones, which means that's my daytime vision.
Yeah.
So the brighter it is, the harder it is for me to see.
So you can see good at night.
I want to say good. It's
see.
Still 2400, but I see better.
2400,
ain't nothing's good, is it?
No, but, you know, if I'm outside and there's street lights on, you know, I can avoid a car.
Yeah. 2400.
I won't walk into it. But
about like mine.
Yeah, I used to tell people I may not know it's a 1949 Ford, but I know I don't want to run into it.
That's
it.
And you say 20 over $400, about like your son.
Yeah.
That would be about like Charboy's.
Yeah, be about like. So, how far are you from Los Angeles?
14-hour drive.
Well, good. That's too far. Because I sure got a good friend in Los Angeles that would sure help you. At the Braille Institute in Los Angeles, her name is Carmen Applegren.
Oh, yeah?
And Carmen Applegren is a wonderful person, and she's mostly blind herself, but if you ever get to the Braille Institute, you go see her, because she'll fix you up. She'll know just what you need, and she'll take care of you.
What part of California are you in?
I'm way up north.
That's what I was going to say. You'd have to be.
Right by Oregon? Close?
Yeah, well, I'm 2 hours from Oregon border.
Okay.
Yeah, because you're close to Doug Rose, aren't you? Reasonably close.
Yeah, he's next down up in McKinleyville.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's about 15 minutes, 20 minutes away.
Well, let me ask you this. Are you a mud hogger? Is that why you built your four-wheel? Do y'all like to go off-road?
Oh, yeah. Growing up, all my friends, I wasn't fortunate enough to afford a truck when I could see.
Right.
All my friends had trucks. Lots of people around here had trucks.
Uh-huh.
We do a lot of four-wheeling, and one of the sons has a 80, the Toyotas, you know, with the slip-off top. I mean, the back part of the truck comes off, you know, and so they.
Yeah.
We do a little of that, and there's several good parks around here. About 500 and 600 acre parks you can go ride.
Yeah, they keep closing all the land up here. It's terrible.
Well, the conservationists hate them, you know.
They hate the
four-wheelers and jet skis and off-road vehicles.
Yeah, we have a small OHV park out here on the Samoa Peninsula.
Yeah.
You know, they got a mini Rubicon, they call it.
Yeah.
Basically a bunch of rocks laid out about 200 yards.
Yeah.
And we did that in the truck. It took that no problem.
Okay.
Randy, I did go to the website you sent and looked at your truck. And, man, it looks great. I mean, you did a fine job on it.
Yeah, but my son rolled it.
Uh-oh.
Did he now?
Did he now?
Well.
Yeah, he did.
Well, that'll happen.
Yeah, well, I knew it was going to get flopped sooner or later, just not so soon.
Just wasn't quite ready for it to happen this quick.
No, what, we were out.
And then he lost interest?
Yeah.
No, that's to my other son.
Uh-oh.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
He didn't live with us when I started the truck. He came to live with us
later.
Recently.
Yeah.
He turned 18. We went out to the beach, and he decided to jump this dune, which looked long and flat at the top from the side we were coming at. But on the other side of the dune was a very narrow valley. So as soon as he came over the dune, the passenger side of the truck hit the top of the valley.
Uh-huh.
And the driver's side of the truck just dropped about 12 feet to the bottom of the
valley. Oh, man. Were you in the truck when this happened?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
you folks have got to get a grip out there and start, good Lord.
I take it you can drive on the beaches. You know, we have a lot of beaches here in Texas you can't drive on.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, well, this is an actual off-road park.
Okay.
One of the few places up here that's open to trucks and stuff.
All right.
Well, Randy, sounds like you're doing all right, even if you can't read Braille. Don't worry about it. I can't either. It's no big deal. We appreciate you, and this will be on, this is Tuesday. This will be on ACB this Saturday.
Yeah.
All right. Get to tune in and hear the interview. We appreciate you. If anything we can do for you, give us a call and tell Doug Rose hello.
Yeah, sure will. Thank you.
Get right. Somebody to sign you up with Talking Books. You'll love them.
Yeah.
You really
yeah,
will.
Yeah, look into that.
All right, man.
It's a wonderful way to spend those long, lonely days when you don't have anything else to do just reading a book. I know what I'd do without them.
Yeah.
Randy, appreciate you, sir. Tell Doug Rose hello, and we'll talk with you.
All right, thank you.
All righty. Let's take a little short break. I have no idea what we're going to do after the break, but we'll come back and figure out something. Y'all hang on. More of the Blind Handyman. Hang on.
Shopping their big discount stores when you can shop from the comfort of your own home at blindmysmart.com.
Hi, this is Dale Campbell, president of Blind My Smart. If you can't find what you're looking for today, check back tomorrow. We're adding new products every day.
Blind My Smart, with thousands of products at a completely accessible website. Our address is blindmysmart.com. Again, that's www.blindmysmart.com. Are you on the Blind Like Me list?
And I have made a lot of new friends on the Blind Like Me list that I'll never forget.
Well, them crazy people on that Blind Like Me list just talk about the silliest thing.
To join the Blind Like Me list, send a blank email to blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
Okay, I love being on the Blind Like Me list because I'm the moderator, and I get to delete people if I want to.
If you enjoy chatting with other blind folks, come join us on the Blind Like Me list. Send a blank email to blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
You'll never hear that again. Those commercials are history. I think we've Probably gotten our money's worth.
Oh, yeah, I think we have.
We need to start plugging the Houston trip, which is coming up in November, on November 3rd. If you want information, you can email me at phil@philpar.net. I'll send you the information. We're going to do it November 3rd, 4th, 5th, and go home on the 6th. We guarantee you won't learn a thing. We'll just have fun.
Just have a great time.
That's right. Y'all come
yeah.
All right, Donald, you're going to finally take the garbage disposal.
Yeah, just real quick here. I got a little project. I haven't really done this project before. Basically, I'm going to take out an older garbage disposal that does not work anymore. And we never really used it much when it did work. So I just want to replace it with just pipe.
Yep.
Put pipe back in. But in the basic question, or what I'm thinking about is, I've been kind of looking at how it's attached actually to the bottom of the sink. And to me, it looks like there's some kind of strange threaded bolts or something that go up with no heads on them or something. And I'm just basically thinking about with some kind of collar or something that holds it in. But I'm not really sure exactly how it's held to the bottom of the sink, but is the basically what I'm thinking about.
I know the guy that put it in. Real well.
But I think that's a collar that sucks right up to the drain.
So how do you get the collar loose?
This may be a spanner. So look and see if that's not a big nut or if that rubber, it's like a rubber thing.
It's not like a big nut. I've already checked
that. Okay.
No, it's not like a big nut. It is a twisty thing that turns and then drops down.
Right.
But it's got several volt-feeling things with threads.
I think above where you're looking, there may be a hex nut.
Yeah, those bolts, I don't think, hold that on. I think they're with the body of the...
So you think the whole unit's going to just turn then?
I believe so.
Body of the garbage disposal will turn one direction or the other.
I think the collar was put down in there, and then those bolts were put on, and then the garbage disposal was put up in there and turned.
Okay.
That's the question. We've proved we are not.
Well, I'll certainly look into that.
I put it in, and I could tell you what year, but it was a long, long time ago. It's back in the 80s.
Not doing anything. That's the one question I had about it, was how do you... I'll have to unhook the pipe from it, obviously, and then hopefully I can just turn the whole body of the garbage disposal on, and it should twist loose.
Yeah.
Okay, and then I'll have to take the part of it on the sink
out. Those bolts like that you're looking at, I think, are into the garbage. They hold they're just in part of that unit.
They hold the collar on that the unit screws into.
Right.
The unit, it doesn't screw into it, just latches into it.
Okay.
Right.
That's where I got confused, I guess.
They hold the collar on, but they don't have any heads on them. I don't know how they were done, but I was thinking there's a hex nut above somewhere there, but maybe not. But I put that in.
Aren't the heads up in the other up where the collar and
but how would you tighten them?
Well, I don't think you tighten those four bolts.
If it twists off, if it's in slots or something that
I think it is
collar that holds it on, then that would answer that.
And then the bolts hold the collar on. You put the collar on, then you stick the garbage disposal up in there and turn it once, and it clicks.
Yeah.
And you're. It took me all weekend. That's the second one I'd ever done. I put one in for my sister 100 years ago.
One of these 5-minute jobs that takes.
Oh, it took an hour. It seemed like I put it in it and the sink leaked. It leaked around the garbage disposal.
Phil! The sink, you know how it goes. You know when they go, Phil!
You know, you've screwed up, you know.
Well, see, I'm in the same area. Any of you people that have these pull up washers on your sink, usually on the right, the flex hose, and you pull it up to help you wash dishes. Ones that spray water over you.
I never use it.
Well, mine is leaking up under the sink and has been apparently for a while that we hadn't really noticed, and has even gotten into the sheetrock. Not that I'll have to replace any sheetrock. I think I can patch it, but I want to do away with this guy. All right, there's a nut that I can feel, but it's kind of recessed up in the hole in the sink. In other words, if you had the sink, that there would have been a plug there.
Yeah.
There would have been a plug that you knock out if you want this accessory.
On the faucet.
Or on the sink itself. In other words, the faucet's a separate unit.
Well, yeah, but the end of this attaches to the faucet.
Exactly, and it's up under. My faucet is a whole oblong unit.
Yeah.
And so if this nut, because also in this hole is some caulking, see, yeah, that's wet, that's been wet for some time. And so my whole thing is I think I'm going to have to take the faucet off to disconnect this.
That's possible.
Whole thing. And then since they set it up for that, I don't know what kind of plug. But we never used this thing, and then it's come back to bite us on
the... If you had the faucet off, you could take it to Andy's and get something to screw on there, threaded.
But you could.
But that means...
Remember Max told us how they worked with a reverse diaphragm thing? Remember that?
Well, I'll guarantee you this one's leaking, so it's not working.
You don't want to just tighten it up and go on?
Well, I'm going to see if that'll work. But it seems to be leaking up from above. In other words, if it was leaking where the nut is... Why is the caulking up above it wet?
Well, it's leaking. I mean,
it's under pressure a little bit, and it's spraying up there. So, but anyway,
all those little plumbing problems can bite you.
Turn into days and days and days.
They really can. Sometimes it's just best to just call somebody. You know,
don't listen to us. Just call a plumber.
Sometimes
call a plumber.
You just have to call a plumber, but you know these projects are. Sometimes you get by with stuff, but I tell you, in the new house, if you're a lot more careful in those old houses. If you flooded the kitchen, who the hell cared? Nobody. But in your new house, you know, Mama ain't gonna like that.
Well, no, she's the one that discovered it, and so far we've been. Minus
did she go?
Don. Well, she did.
I love it when they do that.
Yeah, they did.
That means something is wrong.
Sometimes she hands me a wrench. Is this what you need? Because she wants me to get right on it. Right on it.
Yeah.
And you got help from those four dogs.
No doidling. No.
Yeah. You know. I think the word would be malingering.
Yeah, malingering and doidling. And just basically screwing up.
That's it.
We're through for the
season.
Done. It's our season here, friends.
Done deal.
We know you've enjoyed it. We're starting year number 5 after Padre Allen.
Did they renew our contract?
I don't care. We're going to be here anyway.
155, after the break.
I believe we're starting year 5 after the break.
Year 5 and show 155.
165.
165, yeah.
Yeah, year 5 and show 165.
Yeah, what a deal.
Started this 5 years ago. Who'd have thought it? Anyway, thank you, Tom Houston. Wherever you are, he'll be back on the 25th. And Don Patterson, Don Shaw. It's been fun. Don't think it ain't been, because it has been. That's what Webb Hunt used to say.
Oh, yeah.
On KQ. Remember Webb Hunt?
Oh, yeah.
The
all night.
A night guy.
Yeah.
It's a librarian also. Anyway, I'm Phil Parr. We'll see you the 25th. We'll be running reruns, and hope you'll enjoy those. Thank you for coming, and we'll talk to you later. I see you, the blind man, as he picked up his hammer and saw.